Welcome to The Space Around Us, our weekly look at the wonders of the universe. Our guest is Professor Malcolm Cope from the University of Southampton. In our last edition, we talked about SALT, the Southern African Large Telescope, which is part-funded by the university. It's a fantastic scientific tool for looking into the deep cosmos, but what exactly, Professor Cope, do you use it for?
I use it to look at the Magellanic Clouds and to try and learn a bit about how stars are being made in environments very different from our own.
And what exactly are the, and whereabouts are the Magellanic Clouds?
The Magellanic Clouds are companion galaxies to our own, so they're kind of in orbit around our own galaxy. The name Magellanic Clouds come from Magellan, the Portuguese explorer who in the 1500s went out and was the first European to record them. They're actually very spectacularly visible objects. If you live in the Southern Hemisphere, you can see them up in the sky at this time of night, and they're very impressive. We don't really have anything quite like it up in the Northern Hemisphere.
Are you slightly jealous?
In one hand, but on the other hand, it gives me a great excuse to go to the Southern Hemisphere to look at them.
Now, you said they are a galaxy that orbits our galaxy. Now, this is mind-bogglingly big to me at the moment. So would it be fair to describe them as moons?
In a sense, of course, the scale of size is huge compared to moons, but the principle is exactly the same. The moon goes round our own planet, it's trapped by the gravity of our own planet, and in the same way, these two Magellanic Clouds, the large and small, are trapped by the gravity of our own galaxy, which is called the Milky Way.
But that sounds like a massive force in space.
It is. It's huge. I mean, the force of our galaxy is colossal. There are 100,000 million stars all pulling together the gravitational fields. And so it's a huge gravitational force. And so it trapped these two companion galaxies about 1,000 million years ago, caught them as they were trying to go past, and they're now trapped in orbit around our own Milky Way.
I mean, are they bigger or smaller than our galaxy?
They're both smaller. In fact, the large one, you might guess, is the bigger of the two. It's about 1/10 the size of our galaxy, and the small Magellanic Cloud is about 1/100. So still pretty big. I mean, there's still, you know, hundreds of thousands of stars in each of these two guys.
And once again, what are you studying?
So I'm interested in the way stars are created in environments that, if you like, are alien or different from our own. It turns out these Magellanic Clouds experience huge tidal forces on them. They interact with each other, they interact with our galaxy, and that makes stars in a way we don't quite yet understand.
Well, as usual, you brought some massive subjects to the table. We're going to take a short break, have a think about this, and then come back in a moment with some more questions for Professor Malcolm Cope. Welcome back to The Space Around Us. Our guest, Professor Malcolm Cope, has brought some big things to the table. The fact that galaxies can have galaxies in orbit of them. How far away are the Magellanic Clouds?
Technically, they're at 60,000 light years away. That means that when we look up at them, we're seeing light that left these galaxies 60,000 years ago. If you had a small pair of binoculars, you could probably see the Andromeda Galaxy. Now, the Andromeda Galaxy is 1 million light years away. To put it in comparison, the nearest star that we can see, other than our own sun, is 4 light years away. So we've got these numbers. The nearest star is about 4 light years. The Magellanic Clouds are 60,000 light years away, but things can be even further. And the Andromeda Galaxy is 1 million light years away.
But you're measuring or looking at the tidal effect of these bodies, which are so far away. How come they still have an influence on each other?
Well, gravity will extend over huge distances. I mean, our own sun, for example, is at a distance of about 10,000 light years from the centre of our own galaxy, yet it's trapped. It's caught by the gravitational field of our own galaxy and can't escape. So if you have enough stuff, enough stars put together, then the gravitational field is huge and can extend out to enormous distances.
It's still hard for me to think that there's an actual tide going on between all these thousands and thousands of stars. I mean, what does it look like to you?
Well, it's exactly the same principle, the same physics working that sort of sloshes the sea up and down the beach as is sloshing the stars and the dust around in these galaxies. The tidal force between these two things, if you get two massive objects, like two galaxies coming close together, then they interact with each other and produce the same kind of tidal forces. But instead of water sloshing around, you've got stars, you've got dust, you've got gas, you've got all this stuff that's inside galaxies, and it's all pushed back and forward by the power of the tides. And when it gets pushed together into a crowded region, that's when stars start getting made. So stars will just spontaneously come into existence if you cram enough stuff together in any particular part of space, and tides will do this for you.
So what do you do with the findings?
What we do is we're trying to learn about how stars get born, and if we can figure out how stars get born, the different ways stars get made, then we can get a bit of insight into the things that go around stars, which we're really interested in, which are planets. Stars, you start with a star, you figure out the star or try and figure out how it works, what it's made of, and that gives you some clue, some insight into the kind of planets that might go around it. Hopefully within 5 years, probably, I'd put a pint of beer on it, possibly, we'll find a planet like our own. We won't be able to see it directly, but we'll be able to measure how big it is. We'll know it's the same size as the Earth. We'll be able to check what star it is going around. And so we can start to imagine what it must be like on that planet. And we might get our first clues as to where else in this universe there might be life.
Well, once again, fascinating information, Professor Malcolm Coe. And thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.